I think this happened in 2014. Yeah, it had to be 2014. I was back on OkCupid, but I was also very, well, I don't know if anxious is the right word, but how about apprehensive? I was still raw and wounded from my breakup with my previous girlfriend, yes, the white trash one whose aspirations were to become a swinger and be gangbanged because apparently that's just what broken white trash does. Oh, as an aside, I have a friend and former lover who used to do sex work. She made the very astute observation about women that are gangbanged that they can do whatever they want, but there are two things they don't get to do. They don't get to say no, and they don't get to say stop. Well, they can, but neither are going to happen, especially when the guys fucking her are strangers. She's been a sex worker, and she was for many years, and she didn't do gangbangs for this exact reason. All right, nothing to do with anything here, so let me get back on track. Back to 2014. I'm still raw and wounded, but I'm also recovering and starting to feel the first signs of my confidence returning. And while on OkCupid a few months prior, I had a brief interaction with a woman that fizzled out, although if you were to ask me why, I couldn't tell you for the life of me because, well, it was a long time ago. But somehow we messaged each other again, and this time it felt more promising. I vaguely recall that I had explained where I was in my life at that time, and there was something that I said to her that elicited a, "You're very perceptive, Shelley," from her. And I suppose it was that convinced her to go on a date with me. She told me her name was Angie. I don't know if that was her real name or not, but that's the name she went by, and I never knew her last name. She was a professor with a newly earned doctorate. Her dissertation and research was over a very specific part of women's anatomy. And I remember she described her research as being qualitative over quantitative. I don't remember where we had our dinner, but afterwards we went to a patisserie on Division or Powell. And if you're from Portland or you've spent any time in Portland, Division and Powell are two of the major roads, along with Burnside and a handful of others, that every Portlander knows pretty well. Unfortunately, it could not have been a worse place for me to be. It was jam-packed, and from the moment I stepped inside, it was overwhelming in the sheer number of people having animated and very loud conversations. And I remember we were standing in a queue about, you know, so we could place an order at a counter. Her back is to me. And I just had this really, really strong urge to lean in and ask her, "Would you mind if I put my arms around you?" And I didn't. I'll come back to this in a little bit. You see, it was our first date, but I had already fallen for her. She was attractive. She was smart. I like women of various heights, but she was that height that I just really, really like. I can't say for sure, but I think she was between 5'2 and 5'4. Yeah, I'm going to come back to this moment and later in this story. Aside from the noise, the first problem was that my allergies were hammering me pretty hard that night and my sinuses were sealed shut. If you're one of those lucky people and have no idea what allergies are like, imagine trying to breathe through your nose, but somebody has jammed two tampons in it so deep you can't pull them out. And it's an internal pressure and discomfort that prevents any breathing through your nostrils, and this makes speaking more difficult and kills off any sense of taste. And as bad as it was, as I said, this place was packed. I can't filter stimuli in an environment like that. I can't stop listening to chunks conversations. I can't stop registering movement. I can't gather my thoughts. And worst of all, I can't process what other people are saying to me. And that's just the world people like me have to live in who can be overstimulated by their environment. Think of it as trying to listen to something someone is telling you, but there's someone near you putting gravel in a blender. There's a table with somebody laughing and slapping their hand on the table at irregular intervals. And then there's somebody with a toddler that's screaming at the top of their lungs just for the fucksies. And that is the world I live in. I'm better at recognizing when the environment is going to work against me like this, but I really liked her and I didn't want to ruin the evening. I remember we eventually left in my then 2004 Hyundai Santa Fe. I drove her back to her apartment, or it might have been I drove her back to her car. I just don't remember, but I was really, really, really sleepy. Even though I was healing from this breakup, I was still having difficulty sleeping, and I remember on that particular night, I'd slept maybe 8 hours over the previous 2 or 3 nights. And because I was sleepy, and because I was a little bit nervous, I remember she told me to take a left at a certain point on the road, and I remember I lifted my hand and made the L shape with it, which was probably a mistake. I don't think she was impressed, but in my defense, I can't visualize most things, and when I'm sleepy or otherwise fatigued, it's not uncommon for me to look at my hands to figure out which is right and which is left. Now, don't get me wrong, I most certainly know my left from my right, but try doing quick recollections when you've had 8 hours of borderline shitty sleep over the course of 3 days and see how you fare. Add to that someone next to you that you're falling for and very much want to get to know. And, like I said, I was a little bit nervous. I remember getting out and opening her door. I remember standing next to the door, my right arm hooked over it and resting on top. I can't say with 100% certainty, but I think she may have invited me in. And if she did, I said, no, thank you. Why? Why would I do that? Because I was dangerously close to falling asleep. The thought of getting home, which was, at the time, in the boonies of Oregon City off of South End Road, was weighing on me. And there was the reality that I have to sleep with a BiPAP. And if I don't, I will snore in a way that will cause the neighbors to pound on the walls. And believe me, that is not hyperbole. And so I said goodnight without hugging nor kissing her. Let me segue into something some of you, especially women, may not know about some men. See, there are some guys like me that if they're 95% sure a woman is into them, they will not make any advance on them. No attempt at a hug, and absolutely no attempt to kiss. Why? Because if there's a 5% chance that I'm going to be rejected by somebody, that is too great of a risk. Too great of a risk to risk being rejected and or friend-zoned. A few days later, I messaged Dr. Angie. I don't remember what I said, but her response was short and it was terse. I don't need any more friends. And I think at the time I was driving back from Seattle into Portland. I'm pretty sure I was on Interstate 5 when that came in. It was a gut punch, but I also don't think I ever responded. See, at the time, I had to leave Portland. It was like a caged beast inside of me that chewed and it clawed at me every single day. And at the time, her words hurt me, but my drive to find a job and get out of Portland consumed me. And I knew that if I were able to see her again, well, I'm going to be really honest here. I should have responded. I should have messaged her, and I should have said, I'm sorry that you feel that way, Dr. Angie. It wouldn't have taken much for me to fall in love with you. And I never did. In the coming months, I would land a job in Seattle. I relocated to Linwood and for a while had that fresh, bright optimism that one has when they've struck out on their own in a new city. Unfortunately, that job didn't work out. Some of it was my responsibility because I was still processing and grieving over my ex, and some of it was because the person I reported to at that job was an utter twat. And within half a year, I would lose that job and come to the realization that I really fucking hated King and Snohomish County. That's an entirely different conversation for another time. But if you like Seattle, Redmond, Bothell, etc., great. But for me, cities and I are not a good fit, and Seattle was the last draw I had for living near or working in one. I am 60 years old now, as of last Saturday. I haven't had a girlfriend since before that breakup in 2014. I've dated a little bit here and there, but honestly, I haven't really tried since before the pandemic. And I suppose that deserves an explanation all its own, which I may or may not get around to writing about, but that one night that I didn't even try to demonstrate that I really liked her, and that she dismissed me with all of the grace of a scalpel, and I didn't even bother to tell her that I could have easily have fallen in love with her. And that haunts me. 12 or so years later, and at least once a week, it still haunts me. I can't predict what would have happened. Maybe nothing, maybe everything. I will say that while there are many aspects of being alone and single that I like, I do wonder what my life would have been like had there been somebody to love and support in her career. Someone to tease, someone to make laugh, someone to hold, to touch, taste, smell. Someone to spend my years with and watch as our hair turned to white. And I don't know that Dr. Angie would have been that one, but, well, as I said here I am, 12 years later, and I still think of her at least once a week and wonder, what if I had? But, you know, maybe she could have done a little bit better herself. And while I doubt she even remembers me, maybe, just maybe at some point, she wondered the same about me.